just staying with us in that moment. You know, last week I know that Alistair, as Joanna said, was talking about being renewed by Father's presence. And part of learning how to be renewed is actually learning not to rush away from a moment. And when our sister shared about Hong Kong, and just then I heard those, you can hear people talk, and we do hear each other talk, but then sometimes you hear God talking through people. And that can happen to any believer, that God can speak through you when you catch something in him. And something just then was caught in just a passion and a desire for God to move in a nation. And it would be very easy just to, like, oh, that's a great testimony, and it's great that our sister is passionate. But if you're really listening spiritually, you'll begin to hear different things. And what it usually does is it just causes you to want to pray, or want to worship, or want to give thanks, or want to do many different things. And so it's really important that as Christians, and you know, she brought the, you know, that description of God's presence in the temple with the ark. And actually when that temple was built, the Bible says that as Solomon dedicated the temple, the presence of God came and the priests were unable to do their work because the presence of God was so weighty and just it overwhelmed them. And all they could do was just cry out to God. And that was such a moment just now where we just, it felt like all we should do is not just rush away and just rush onwards because there's others. So Gareth's got to preach, you know. Actually, no, let's just stop and let's be obedient to what we're hearing, the heart of God that we're hearing for a nation. And it caused me just to begin to, I want God to move in my nation. We need God to move in the UK. We need God to move in Hong Kong. None of which is my message, but just a gentle teaching on the back of what I know is can sometimes feel like, well, why has the service not moved on? Well, sometimes we just need to pause and just allow God to speak and to move in our hearts. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, my message today is we are an apostolic church. And so last week we were looking, as you know, is the first part of our vision statement is renewed by the Father's presence. And then it says we are an apostolic church. Now I know all of us have had very probably different experiences of church, and churches can be called a number of different things. They can be a Baptist church, and we're a Baptist church, and they can be an Anglican church, as Catholic church, Methodist church, and that's just the historical denominations. You know, after that you can get into all sorts of new church streams like Assemblies of God and the Pentecostal church. And so there's lots of different descriptions that are given to what a church is. And churches can look very different. So you've seen me this morning leading worship here now. This picture here, I am in this picture. And this is me leading worship More than 30 years ago, which is scary. Okay, so it's the 1980s. So and in the 1980s in the United Kingdom, boys and girls had pretty much the same haircut. Okay. Any guesses as to where I am in this picture? Where do you think? Do you think it is it this side? Middle? This side? There I am. There you go. So this was the Anglican church that I grew up in. And, you know, and it was a very different style of church. It was much more formal than we are here. And I grew up and went to that church for a long time. I've said this before, I think. I give thanks for this church. Because every single week, because of the way the service worked, you would be speaking scripture, because scripture was weaved into the service. And so I didn't know Jesus at this point. I hadn't received Jesus as my saviour. You know, I always say I've never not believed that God existed ever in my life. Have I ever doubted God's existence? But at this point in my life, I didn't know Jesus. But when Jesus came into my life, all this time that I'd spent in church, singing and speaking scripture out, it was all just in there. And it's like it got connected to electricity and suddenly got powered up. And, you know, it's just an amazing thing. I give thanks for my wonderful Anglican church in which I was a choir boy. Don't I look cute? Yeah, with my... So if you want to know the technical term, so the red thing is called a cassock. And the white thing is called a surplice. And then the thing around my neck is called a ruffle. I was very glad when I could get rid of the ruffle. So when my voice broke and I could join the male section of the choir, I was allowed to get rid of the ruffle. I was very happy. So, because it's just choked you a bit. So, but that was my choir. Now, traditionally, lots of churches will look something like this, okay? So when you think about a traditional church structure, this is what that structure might look like. So you might have a senior minister, and we have a senior minister. You might have elders, deacons. In an Anglican church, you'll have a vicar or a priest. And so usually you've got a leadership structure, and then you've got different departments under that leadership. So you've got worship, youth, children, administration, outreach. And this is all good, okay? So that obviously looks like a church, because you've got leadership, you've got different things that are happening, okay? I'm going to make an assumption that most of you have probably at some point being part of a church where the structure of it looked something like this, okay? I have before, and I'm guessing the majority of you probably have also. Now, it's important to just say at this point that there are parts of a church, or that there is a flavour to all churches, or all biblical churches. Okay, all churches that are governed by the word of God. And it's important to say that there are true churches, churches that are following Jesus, and there are also churches that ignore Jesus and ignore what he says through his words. And for all of us, it's important that we, all of us, find ourselves as part of a church, wherever we are in the world, that is following God, that is obedient to his word. So there are just one or two things, or three things actually, that you should find in old churches. Okay? One is ministry to God. So if you go to a church and they are not worshipping God, they are not exalting God like we've done this morning, they are probably either not a church or not a church you should go to. Okay, so but any church that you go into, the first thing you think, are people worshippers in this place? No matter what style of worship it is, okay, whether it's an organ, whether it's a piano, whether it's a band, are they worshipping God? Okay, that's a hallmark of a church. Are they ministering to one another? That's a good second sign that this is a good church. So is there opportunity within the life of the church for believers to meet together, read the Bible together, pray together? Is that going on? Okay, that's a good second hallmark of a church. And then the third one that I've picked out is that there's some kind of ministry of evangelism and mercy. Okay, so a good third sign that you're in a good church, no matter what the style is that the gospel is being proclaimed. Okay, if you go to a church and people are proclaiming Jesus, that is a good thing. No matter what style of church it is, no matter how they're telling people about Jesus, if they're telling people about Jesus, big thumbs up. Okay? The second bit is that they're reaching out to those in need. So hopefully they are, feeding the poor, finding a way to clothe people. Okay? So those are the three things really quickly that I would say make up a church, no matter what denomination or what background or, you know, wherever they come from. Number one, if they're worshipping God, ministry to God, tick. Second thing, ministry to one another, tick. Third thing, preaching the gospel and caring for those in need. Some of the big tick. So if you ever find yourself in any part of the world looking for a church to belong to and you're thinking, I'm not sure which church I should belong to, then please, by all means, take those three things and use them as a little lens to look through. Now, usually this kind of church structure is geographic in footprint. What do I mean by that? It means it's going to be usually a local model of church. So it takes in a geography, an area, that could be a town, it could be a village, it could be a community. But usually this kind of model of church is a local, and it's the opportunity to minister is mainly defined by posts in the church, so jobs. So the opportunity for people to minister in this model of church is usually that they've been given a position. Okay, now that presents a little bit of a test, because there's our church. I tried to go for a churchy looking church. So it's got a cross on top. That's helpful. And so you've got, as we said, so you've got pastors, elders, maybe a senior minister. Who are the leadership in that church? Then you've got most of us. Because most of us are not the senior minister, the pastor, elders, deacons. Most of us are those that come on a Sunday morning and make up the majority of the church. So the majority of the church is here. Up there, that's not the majority. Has this got a pointy thing? I don't want to press anything that takes it off. So I'm not sure. Anyway, so most of us are not at the top. Most of us are here. Okay? That means that if... Now, I'm not saying this is always true. But if you've got gifted, quality people in a church, and I believe in every single church there are gifted and quality people. If you've got a person, let's say, who's really gifted in, I don't know, leading people in worship, sometimes in this model of church, because that person is coming from here, most of us. But as they get anointing in their gifting, as they learn how to use their gifting, they'll sometimes reach like a barrier. And that barrier, sadly, sometimes is the leadership itself. And the leadership kind of look at, say that the person's anointed in worship, or let's say that they're really anointed in hearing God's voice, that they've got a prophetic gifting. Then usually what happens is that they'll use it, but then they'll hit this nervous barrier, which is the leadership. He goes, I'm not entirely sure how this fits into our nice tidy box of ministry. Because we've got positions. We've got departments. And so what sadly happens is that when those anointings and giftings kind of get to the top, they've got nowhere else to go, because a nervous leadership will kind of go, well, I'm not quite sure what to do with this. I'm not quite sure when this person who seems to hear God, or has dreams, let's say has dreams, and they come and share this dream with me, and I don't know what to do with it. I'm not sure how to process this in my nice tidy church structure. And so what happens is that those people can get like, well, I feel like I hear God. I feel like God's gifted me, but I don't feel like I can use my gifting here in the church. And so they kind of get bounced out. And that's why oftentimes, you know, sometimes people that pray, people that hear God, especially prophetic intercessor prayer types, can sometimes struggle with church. Because how do I fit in to all of this? Now, this is where I believe that we are an apostolic church changes that. Okay, are you all following me? I'm trying to look for some nods, because this is how the gate works, and I want to as best as possible try and communicate how we do things. So we're going to try and change everything here by applying Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13. So look at this. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So, let's just look at this first bit. So Christ himself gave. Now, sometimes when this piece of scripture is referred to, it can be called a couple of things. So if you are making notes and you want some bits of theology to take away, sometimes they're called the ascension gifts, because just before it, Paul writes that Jesus ascended into heaven, leading captives with him. And so sometimes these gifts here, the five that are mentioned, are called the ascension gifts. But the other one to hear, if you ever hear the words fivefold ministry, that's what this is referring to. Okay, fivefold ministry, which is language that we use here in the UK. So, Christ himself gave the apostles. Okay, and elsewhere in 1 Corinthians 12:28, Paul actually writes, God gave first the apostles. Okay, and remember that Jesus called his disciples apostles. And Saul, who became Paul, who wrote all the letters, he was described as an apostle. And there were others in the ministry that were given this name, apostle. Now the thing about an apostle is that they're not just interested in just one local area. They are going to be interested in, yes, the church that they come from, but they're also really interested in planting new churches. They're interested in how we can get the gospel into new areas. They're interested in how we can raise up ministry. And then it follows on to, you've got the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers. And these are all gifts, as it says, Jesus himself gave to the church. And at the end it says that the body of Christ may be built up. So the purpose of these gifts that Jesus gave the church is so that the body of Christ, it's all of us, but if you just want to think about it, so you think most of us, we all need encouraging, we all need equipping, we all need to be raised up in the gifts that God has given to us, because we, as the Bible says, we are all priests. We are all part of that body, and we are all meant to be ministers. We are all meant to be priests in our home, in our workplace, in our schools, in our university, wherever we are. If we are a Christian, we are a priest in that place. And so how does this work itself out? Because there's some really big goals here. Equipping his people for works of service, building the body of Christ up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. These are really big things for the church to be aiming for. But that's why Jesus left these gifts, because he knew that we wouldn't be able to do it ourselves. He knew that he needed to leave some gifts. And when I was praying about this yesterday, this may have occurred to other people before, but it only occurred to me yesterday. And I've not yet rooted this in scripture, so just to be really clear, these are Gareth's thoughts, okay? not I'm teaching this from the Bible. I still have yet to do that bit, but I'll share it anyway. As long as you don't go, heresy! Jesus, one day, is going to get married, yes? It's in the Bible. There's going to be a wedding. Who's Jesus getting married to? The church. Do you think Jesus wants for himself a beautiful church? Yeah? This is going to sound, if your bride is coming towards you and she's ugly, I remember the day that I got married to Rach, and I remember her walking down the aisle and just like, wow, I have the most beautiful bride. But she'd spent time, thinking about all the different ways that she could get herself beautiful for that day. I mean, I'd gone and had a haircut, the day before. I went and had a haircut and I make sure I shaved, and I don't shave anymore, as you know, but I was nicely shaven. And it was all so that when we saw each other, we were like, oh, we can't wait to get married. And I kind of feel like these apostolic gifts are like, they're almost like bridal attendants. These giftings are trying to get the church as beautiful as possible. That's what these giftings are trying to do. That's what I felt God say to me yesterday, just kind of whisper into my spirit. But I need to kind of process that a bit more. But I feel like, because when you get to the end of verse 13, the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, that's only really fully achievable on the day that Jesus comes back. Because that's when we come to fullness of our salvation. That's when the full preparation for the wedding is going to take place. Up until then, the bride is being prepared for Jesus to come back. And I kind of thought, Jesus knew, I need to leave some gifts on the earth that will hopefully get the bride as beautiful as possible. So that's kind of where my head is going at the second. So here we are. There's our traditional church. What we're going to do, some clever PowerPoint. Woo! We've just turned everything upside down. Okay, so Jesus is still head over the church. We are under his authority. And we're going to apply Ephesians 4 to it, which is the wrong scripture, sorry. Think about Ephesians 4, 11-13. And we're going to put our gifts down here at the bottom, okay? So you'll see that the leadership, because you might think, well, Jesus left these people, his apostles, his disciples, they were the leaders of the early church. So surely they're at the top. And what I'm saying here is, no, they're at the bottom. They're here. And then we've got most of us, okay? Because most of us are still not an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher, at least in the sense of Ephesians 4, because these were giftings that were meant to equip. So if somebody has got apostolic ministry, if somebody has got ministry that flows out of one of these anointings, one of the signs of that is that other people are being raised up around them. Because remember, what's the first goal? To equip the saints for works of service. But this time, in a good apostolic environment, what's going to happen is that all the places where ministry should happen are now at the top. Because ministry, guess what? It shouldn't mostly happen in church services. Ministry should not predominantly take place in the four walls of a church building. If that's the only place that ministry happens, then we have got things wrong. The large part of ministry should take place in all, now churches included, but there are so many areas where you, I work for the church, so, you know, I'm in the minority. So Joanna and I, who are employed by the church, we are in the minority. All of you are employed, or you spend time in all these different places. And that is where you are meant to be a minister. So whether it's arts, whether it's media, whether it's science and technology, whether it's government, wherever it is you work, an apostolic church should be equipping you to go and be a minister in that place. And because there's these giftings, teachers, so if you've got an apostolic teacher, they should be equipping us in how to bring the word of God to all these different places. Not just the word of God amongst the community, and remember that's a really healthy sign of a good church, but how do we bring the word of God in all those places? The evangelist, I mean that's an obvious one. So if you've got an Ephesians 4 evangelist, they will hopefully be equipping all of us. This is how we can share the gospel in all these different places. Same with an apostolic prophet. We can all hear God, okay? I want to be really clear. We can all hear God. There is not one believer that is not capable of hearing God's voice. But an apostolic prophet will be really helping all of us to know how we can hear God for all these different places. So are you beginning to get a picture of an apostolic church, yeah? So it's not just a traditional model leadership, departments, most of us, and everything's defined by position. An apostolic church will be equipping the saints for works of service, building us up in unity, and all these different areas that all of us, most of us, spend our time in, they will be being impacted by the kingdom of God. Okay, so there we go. So we're all being sent out into these different places. We're all being sent out to go and be priests in these different environments. So let's just, as we come into Lent, I know we've run out of time, let's just, Salvation Army, we're an apostolic church. So you'll guess that redeeming people, communities and culture is coming next. Okay, so that's the model. We've turned it upside down, most of us. So again, you've got the so a prophet should be equipping most of us, as we said, to go and say to all these different areas, this is what God is saying. Because that's what prophetic people do. They say, this is what God is, this is the word of the Lord. And that can be quite a scary thing. But if you've been equipped in properly, this is how you hear God. This is what you do if you hear God say something to you. This is how you weigh what's been said. And that's usually by sharing it with other people to say, this is what I think God is saying. Do you agree? And then what do we do with that? There's a unity. And if it's an apostolic church, it's usually not just an individual. It's usually a team. Because in the early church, all these apostles, they operated in team. Barnabas and Saul, Peter and James. You know, they were all teams. It's very rare you find someone just out there. I mean, Philip, maybe, was an evangelist. He was out there by himself. But most of the time you find all these guys working in teams and submitting to one another. But the thing is that if you've got a good apostolic church and you've got someone that feels really equipped and released to go and hear God, they don't feel the need to go off elsewhere. Because all they're really excited about is coming back and saying, it's amazing what God did. God said this to me, and I spoke to my colleagues at work, and then I got to pray for people. And so they just come back all excited, and everyone's excited with them, and then they say, well, go and do it again. And the person that's not had breakthrough yet, you know, the person that really, really wants this gets excited because they're like, well, if they can do it, so can I. And that's the great thing about having a strong apostolic environment, is that people don't feel the need to like put barriers over each other. And actually, you know, I mean, if I can raise up someone who's better than I am at pastoring people, wonderful. I shouldn't be scared about that. I should be like, that's amazing, you go for it. You go and be the best pastor, and if I can be any encouragement to you whatsoever, you come and let me know. But I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to be rooting for your success. But there's an accountability still, because they may have become an even more amazing minister of God than Joanna is. But if Joanna is in an apostolic environment, it means that whoever she's raising up, they know, even if they're double the anointing that Joanna has, they know Joanna is a safe place because she's praying for me, because she's rooting for me, because I know that she loves me and she cares about me. And so that person is going to be able to come back and get that support, get that encouragement. Because we all get things wrong. We all make mistakes. Pastor, again. Now, the last one I want to do. I know a few of you work in coffee shops. So what does an apostolic barista look like? An apostolic barista. So there we go. You're working in a coffee shop, you're thinking, what's this got to do with me? What is any of what God is saying Or what is it, what any of God is saying in his word, or anything that Gareth is saying this morning, got to do with me who's working in a coffee shop? Well, if you are an apostolic barista, you come from an apostolic environment, one of the first things that you're always thinking if you come from an apostolic environment is, what does heaven want to do here in this place? So if you're an apostolic barista, you'll be going into your coffee shop thinking, what does heaven want to do in my coffee shop? When you make your coffee for your customer, if you're an apostolic barista, you'll be praying blessing over that coffee in Jesus. Especially if the person that you've just taken the money off looks completely miserable. You'll be like, Lord, bless this coffee. Let it be a change unto them in Jesus' name. You'll be asking yourself, can I do anything right now in this moment to bring heaven into this situation, this encounter with this person? And it might just be God says, just smile at them, give them a big smile. That could change everything. It could be that actually God takes you beyond that, because you're not only being mentored by people that have got apostolic gifts, but you've spent time with Sue Vineyard. You've spent time doing the New Carmel Prophets Prophecy course. And you feel like, oh, I feel like God's got something for me to say to them. And it could be just that God says to you, just tell them that they're amazing. If you've got an apostolic environment, and you can replace barista with teacher, scientist, lab technician, student, replace it with whatever you want. Because all of us are being, or should be being, equipped to go and work as priests in all these different areas. And it's our heart, certainly as the leadership of the gate, and I'm not saying for a second I think we are perfect at this. I think it's a journey that we're on. I think we're trying to move forward into a place where we're not just thinking about, that's why it's not just the gate Sindelsham. It's the gate Sindelsham, the gate Tilehurst, the gate in Didcot, the gate in the town centre. So why are we not just the gate in one place? That would be far simpler. Yes, it would. It would be much simpler. But that's not what God has said for us to be. We are an apostolic church. We're looking to bring life. Whatever life God has given to us, we want to give it away. And so we want to make sure that all of you know that our prayer as the leadership team here at the gate is to see you equipped to go and make an impact where you are. Most of you will not usually get to stand where I am right now, because not everyone is called to preach on a Sunday morning. And if that was the only gifting, it would be sad. Because the majority of ministry doesn't need to happen in here, it needs to happen out there. Because people need to know Jesus. So I want to encourage you this morning to take every opportunity you can to access training where it comes up. If you see Sue's prophecy course, or Alistair's Equipped to Heal course, or you see the School of Personal Transformation, If you see any of these things, don't just like let them flow by you, because all of them are there to equip you for this. Because God has called us to be an apostolic church. My time has gone. I just want to pray quickly. Can you stand really, really quickly for me? I think I did this last time. I'm going to ask you to do it again. I know it makes some of you uncomfortable. I want you to just put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you. Just put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you. Okay? I don't want anybody to be missed. Because you're about to pray that the person next to you is going to be the most anointed minister that they can be for Jesus, wherever they are. And you might be standing next to your husband and or your wife or your son or your daughter or someone that you know, and so you know where they go to work. You know where they spend most of their time. So you're going to pray that they will be a blessing for God where they are. So as I pray, just pray for one another. Father, I just want to pray right now. And Lord, I want to ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord, that this would be a community of those who are equipped to go out and to make a difference in this world. That the whole community would know that because we are an apostolic church, that's not about one or two people. That's about all of us. That's about all of us believing that you want your kingdom to come into our everyday. That you want our kingdom to come, your kingdom to come into our workplaces, our schools, our colleges, our theatres. Lord, everywhere. Everywhere we are, you want your kingdom to come. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd help us as a church be as good as we can be at equipping the saints for works of service. Lord, bring us all into unity, getting us all towards that place where we have the fullness of Christ. And so, Lord, we just pray for your anointing to come right now. That apostolic anointing, Lord, that I believe is on this church. And Lord, that you would anoint us. I pray for your anointing to fall in this room. I pray for your anointing to come. And that all of us would go this week and make a difference. In Jesus' name. Amen. So to build on Alistair's challenge from last week, so you need to go away and still carry on asking God to renew you, looking for those moments. But this is challenge number two. Challenge number two is looking for the moment that this week, whether you're a barista, whether you are a tutor, whether you are a lab technician, whether you're a student, asking God to use you in a moment this week to bless somebody else. Take it beyond the walls of this church, the walls of this building, and into the world. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Gareth. If you'd like to take your seats just for a second, our time